Welcome to the good stuff.
I kind of had a bit of a like an insight into what it would be like troubleshooting there if that was your job, and I didn't mind it. I'll be honest, it's kind of fun.
You liked it?
Yeah. I think there's an element of power involved, and but you know, you've got to think what the other person's thinking, think about what they're seeing on their screen.
You just like being the knowledgeable person, because that's quite an egotistic. Because I used to work in a golf shop, and I would know where like stuff about golf clubs, and people would come in and they'd ask me questions, and I'd be quite smug. I'd be like, "Yeah, I mean, you could get that one if you wanted to, but I mean, phew, the new model's coming out in a month's time. Why would you?" I used to get that was fun. I used to get off on that.
You enjoyed the feeling?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I think is common in.
Have you ever had a job, Mel, where you were like? Information-wise?
I taught high school students and I thought I would have that feeling, but I did not have that feeling because you simply cannot win.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought I'd be like, well, I think you'll find. It was Hamlet, but it's not what it is. It's more like trying to stop kids from playing guitar in class. It's
Now, who are these cool kids we're talking about playing guitar in class? That sounds... pretty cool.
Were you a music teacher or did they just bring a guitar to an English class? You're trying to teach Hamlet and they're like, 1, 2, 3, 4.
In English, they would want to play guitar and then I would go, it's not appropriate. This is not music. We need to put the guitars away. And they would go, but miss, everyone likes music. It will make everyone nice and calm. And I go, okay. 10 minutes where you can play some guitar. And then I would let them play for 10 minutes, but they would play a song that all the kids knew and all the kids would sing and it would be out of control. And then that's around.
You're such a bad teacher, they changed the subject of the class on
you. Oh, I had no skills. No.
And did they play a song that you didn't know? So like you everyone's singing along having and you just had to sit there and just like pretend you knew the song but were choosing not to sing?
I had no idea what it was because this was in, I was 22, this was in about like 2003 and I had really disconnected from the music scene.
Did you ever try to make friends with the kids? Were there any like kid where you're like, oh, they're actually cool and you would have liked to have been their friend?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Or the pure disdain.
No, a couple of them were quite cool, but the problem is they always hurt you. They always burn you. So.
Oh, my God.
I thought I was really good friends with this kid called Aaron, and he was a naughty boy. I'd reformed him.
Mm. Oh, you changed him.
Yeah, I thought I'd changed his life. We had an understanding. He wasn't going to be naughty anymore. And then one day we were in a library lesson, and he just got the fire extinguisher off the wall for no reason and just, like, sprayed it all over the library. Fucking hell.
You weren't even close to reforming.
That hurt. That really hurt.
That would be the feeling you go in with is, like, I'm going to reform all these bad kids. Like, I'm the special one. And that goes back to the feeling of, like, superiority, I suppose. But then, yeah, it feels like you'd jump at that having happened, like, too quick. Like 2 weeks in, you're like, I've changed his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like having a week off because he's planning the next prank.
Yeah, no, they just see you as a uniform. Like you are never.
You were wearing a uniform.
Or you know what I mean? Like they.
Did they bully? They bullied you into wearing the uniform.
Into putting on the uniform, and they took off the uniform.
And then they all sung a song.
They gave you detention.
No, you know what I mean? They like you know how like people say cops are cops or whatever. It's kind of like that. Like you are just like a screw in their prison and you are not a person.
Totally.
Oh, shit.
I'd imagine their memories would be really like short as well. Like you could genuinely have a connection with someone one day, but like a week later they've forgotten about that, whereas like you're still thinking about it.
Oh, I'm still thinking about it. And I haven't been in the classroom for about 8 years. And yeah, if I run into some of these children, I'll be letting them know how much they let me down.
Did you ever get cards, like, thanking you for your teaching?
I was in some very, very rough outer suburb learning behaviour programs.
I remember being aware of that happening and, like, that to me was the top level of teaching, like the most physical reward you'd get is, like, someone being like, thank you so much, Mrs. Buttle.
Yeah, you would get some pretty shit presents sometimes that you didn't want. Just a lot of mugs with bullshit lollies in them, covered in cellophane, whole thing's going in the bin. I'm not blowing my calories on lollies from crazy clubs. You would get that sort of stuff, yeah. But no cards.
You got a song, though. Like, a class sang you a song. That could be considered a gift.
In that exact same class, see, with one hand they give, another hand they take away. I turn around.
Is that Hamlet?
that is. Good pickup. So I'm writing on the board. I turn around to write this huge paragraph up on the board. And by the time I turn back, a kid was just missing. And I hadn't heard doors open. And it hadn't been that long. It was maybe like a couple of minutes. And I was like, where the fuck is Peter? Where's he gone? And
The Great Escape.
And I was like, I know he's in this room. Because I haven't heard the door open. And all the kids' eyes were looking up. They just were looking at the roof. This little asshole had got the manhole cover out of the way and climbed in the roof and put the manhole cover back in like a matter of minutes on his desk. And
Is it hard not to take that personally? He escaped through the manhole.
I just decided to take that on board and just cry a lot after school on the drive home. Yeah.
Where is he?
He wouldn't get out. It was a whole fucking thing. And there was a lesson going into morning tea. The bell went. He's still in the roof. And I was like, I'm going to lock you in. I'm going to lock this door. And I don't know what happened to him. I'm assuming he got out.
We once made a teacher cry. We had a substitute teacher, and there was a real naughty kid in my grade called Nathan Irvine, and that we were being really mean and just like fucking up and stuff in class. And so the teacher went to get like the deputy principal or something, and when the teacher was gone, Nathan Irvine got up and started swinging on the roof, the ceiling fan. Like grabbed it, and then he was like too heavy for it, and then it was like a demountable building, and it just like ripped like out of the roof and just created a hole in the roof, and there was just a whole fan just in the middle of the classroom. And then the deputy principal came back, and then we all decided we were in trouble, so we just started doing our work and like paying.
Yeah, I can homework my way out of this.
Yeah, so the teacher came back, she's like, what happened? And we're like, what are you talking about? We've just been, you know, writing the essay you told us to. Well, there's a fan just in the middle of the room.
Did anyone take the fall?
Oh, it was, we all were quiet for a while, but then I think a few, like there were some cracks, a few teachers' pets cracked pretty early on.
That's the thing. I actually had a class once where at the beginning of it, the teacher was like, all right, we need to like really focus because the exam's coming up and we need to all like study maths for the next 40 minutes, no talking. And we just did it and we all did pretty well in our exams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good story, yeah. Tom.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, fucking cool stuff, man. You and your high ATAR, what did you get again, Tom? 90-something.
I got 98.75.
And what is the highest you can get in that system?
You could get 100. So is that like 100?
What a smart man you are, Tom.
Thank you, smart man. And was a smart boy.
Jeez, the waste.
It's always good to bring up your ATAR.
Definitely.
I think it should be brought up in every conversation.
Absolutely. What is Nathan Irvine doing presently? Are you on his Facebook?
I mean, we lost touch after the big incident. You know, I sided with the rebels that, you know, didn't want to... because he started trying to... He wanted to... Well, no, I sided with the other side. He wanted to, like... He wanted no one to talk. I didn't talk, but I didn't exactly, like... I didn't come to his defense. I mean, he ripped a ceiling fan through the roof. I assume he's, like, he's doing okay now. He kind of had a bit of get up and go about him.
Yeah, get up and fall back down about him. What do you mean you didn't come to his defense? Like, were people mad at the snitches?
People were, but it was pretty hard to be like, he didn't do it, you know, like it.
I mean, something's happened.
Something's happened, you know. When he did it, I remember he turned to the class and he was like, no one say anything. This didn't happen. And it was like, well, unless you can fit a ceiling fan back in the roof, something's happened.
Quite a lot of physical evidence at play here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was a proper naughty kid. An electrician on 180k a year having a great time would be my guess.
Yeah, I'm sure he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Probably fixing the ceiling fans now. Full circle. Okay.
He's got a contract with a primary school as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And his kids just fuck with the fans and then he goes in and fixes them. It's perfect.
Yeah. He. I mean, a lot of people in my school went, they got into the world, they got a trade early on. Not many kids finished from my grade at school.
They finished year 12. They didn't finish year 12.
They didn't make it.
Ah, right.
It was a marathon. Yeah,
I went to an all-girls school, so we didn't have any of that not finishing. That wasn't even mentioned as an option.
What were you guys doing? Telling secrets? Kiss and chase?
Kiss and chase?
A lot of sport, Sam.
Really?
Sport. Yeah. Keep your... a lot of academia, a lot of sport, cultural, and, of course, religion. So...
So we'll keep quite busy.
Those are the different pages in the brochure.
Speaking of sport, you're doing a conspiracy at the moment with your girlfriend, trying to get her to be the pick. Can I talk? Am I not allowed to talk about
that? No, you're not allowed to talk about that. That is not public knowledge. Sorry, Samuel.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about either. Sorry about that. Yep.
I don't know what that is referring to.
All I'm saying is that in the world, there's a few conspiracies. Dig a bit deeper if anyone's listening.
I don't, as you know, I'm not sporty, so I would like to see that stand up in court.
Yes. You were just saying how sporty you were.
It was one fifth of the school's mantra.
Exactly.
Well, the school's mantra is, thank you for asking, it's per bola sonata, which translates to born to fly upwards. So, also rhymes with Hakuna Matata, which was, wow.
My school mantra was born to fly downwards when you're pulling a ceiling fan out of the roof.
That's it.
What school was this? Was this in the Nowra region or something?
It was Nowra Technology High, but the year I got there, it was too much paperwork, so they didn't... It was apparently 15 pages more paperwork to keep technology in the title of the school, so they dropped it.
That's brutal to be the principal making the announcement, being like, you know...
And they
like
told us... They sent like a letter out to all the parents and announced it at assembly. They were like, it's too much paperwork, so we're dropping the technology from the title of the school.
Do you get funding along with that title?
Yeah, I think, you know, you get like a new welder or something for metalwork or something.
Oh, right, like someone to teach the technology.
I think maybe that's what their big... Because it's big.
That's not what I would have thought technology was. That's been around a while, welding.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit slower down there on the South
Blacksmiths
Coast.
Have been around for the last at least like 800 years. I don't know. I was picturing a computer at the very least.
Well, my school did have a good like woodwork and metalwork department, and if our big rival was St. John's, and you went there if you wanted to get ahead, you know, academically, but if you wanted to learn to, you know, do some jointing or some carpentry, you'd come to my school.
Gotcha. Mm. And what was your school's reputation, Mel?
Everyone went in to do arts and commerce or law and arts at UQ, at University of Queensland, or that was it. Those were the main options. A few of the crazier girls did journalism. Pretty loose. And we are known for marrying doctors and living in inner city blue chip suburbs, but also being women of worth and achieving and giving back and keeping in mind charity. So
they really drilled this into you.
Yeah.
Have you gone to the school reunions? Because I didn't go to mine.
I went to my 20-year reunion. That's
oh fuck,
how old I am, yeah. Which was at the end of last year. And the only reason I went was because I'd lost a bit of weight. So I was like, you know what, I'll pop in.
Oh, absolutely.
But none of the people that you really want to see are there. It's just all the middle. It's just...
The keen beans.
Yeah. There's no crazies. There's no, like, none of the... really weirdos turn up, or there's like no reward.
Yeah, I was because I went to my 10-year one, and I was like a few years ago, and I was wondering going in, like, what am I after? And I think the obvious one is like to see someone you haven't seen for a while that you've missed, but like really if you missed them you probably would have seen them.
Aren't you going to see an enemy? That's what.
Well, I think you want an enemy to be like struggling, and it to be clear when you chat to them, or over the course of the evening for that to like and like fit big changes. But I suppose a lot of them you'd find out on Facebook. But yeah, if someone's like put on weight, for example, or like, I don't know, lost an eye. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be good. Eye patch. You'd be the talk of the reunion if you had an eye patch.
Absolutely.
Like, for example, at my reunion, all the girls who had qualified as doctors got a photo together.
No.
Oh, that's some wild stuff. Sorry, guys. This photo is not for you. You have to have done 7 years at university.
Get out of it, Mel. Fuck off. You're like trying to be in the back.
But you're like, look how hot I am. I'm trying to get into the photo.
Actually, I've been on Hizzy. We have a problem. So if anyone else wants a Hizzy photo.
You might have studied for 8 years, but I'm a size 8. So pretty much the same.
But no, none of the people who you think would be really interesting in there. It's just all the girls that you didn't really want to sit in your group at school but would form a second circle 2 meters behind your circle, you know, those sort of people. It's just
totally
not really. I was very well liked. It was kind of, I just mingled between the groups, you know.
Oh, that's what popular people say.
I floated. That's why I never developed any close relationships with anyone at school.
And hasn't that continued into adulthood, Sam?
Oh, come on. Yeah, we invited you on here to say nice things. This is what this podcast is. You just say nice things about me and Tom.
That's it.
Is that what it is?
Oh,
that's what I've been trying to get
that out
of it.
I mean, it wouldn't go astray.
Okay, well, Tom, I think you're very clever and you've got quite sparkly eyes and you're very funny. And Sam, I think you've got great hair and I think you were really funny in the interviews the project got you to do. Is that enough?
No.
Oh, I reckon you could go a bit further, maybe.
Nah, I mean.
Nah, don't go a bit further. But when you can I ask, because you're like a Brisbane celebrity, Mel.
Sure. Okay. Yep.
So they all would have. Like a celebrity in a fully fledged celebrity.
Big in Brisbane.
But Brisbane.
Yeah.
Bigger in Brisbane.
Very big in Brisbane. Yeah.
You couldn't argue with me there. So they would have known you were gonna be. They would have been like, oh my god, Mel's gonna be here.
At the reunion, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the teachers got photos with me, so that's
they're like, we love your column.
Yes.
Exactly right. Yeah. So that was my demographic. I thought the coolest girls in school would have questions about showbiz, but they don't. But some of the ladies who worked in the library, big fans, real big fans.
Yeah. Oh, that's. That's what you want, like the boomers to really like you.
Yep, okay. That's the goal. Always has been from day one. Yep.
That is rough, going to a reunion and impressing all the teachers.
Just standing in the corner alone and then the teachers carrying you out of there.
I was glad to connect with Bronwyn again from the library. Just changed a bit. And yeah, it's always...
Bronwyn is, oh my God, such a library teacher's name.
Exactly.
Bronwyn, oh my God.
As soon as you go on ABC Radio... boomers lock onto you. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, they all seem to know me from my segments on ABC Radio, which I don't think I've really done that recently, but I don't know. I suppose if you have the ABC on 24 hours a day...
it's a bit of cut through.
You will pick up a little Mel Buttle snippet, maybe, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Would you go to your 20th one, Taunton?
I mean, we didn't even have the 10-year, I don't think. So... because a lot of schools...
they didn't have the technology to organise it.
Well, unless it's any kind of like metal joinery type thing, we just don't know how to do it. We just can't work Facebook or any kind of invite. The mail is still beyond us, that's for sure. No, what happened? Because a lot of schools, like, it's part of the school to organise it. Like, the teachers organise... like, it's their duty if it's our year or something. But my school, it was like no. There was a Facebook group someone made... and then someone was like, oh, should we go to the Shoalhaven ex-servicemen's club? They've got like cheap drinks or something. Like, and it was like, when's good? People were just saying, when's good for everyone? And being like, oh, I'm not free that weekend. I think 10 people went and had a beer, basically. I think that's what it was.
It's never going to be good for everyone. You just need to pick a date and let the stragglers fall on their swords.
That's the trouble, though, with that, is that... it's often the keen beans who are the ones who
the keen beans are like losers,
in the chat trying to get it started, and that's just not the right way to go. You need someone else. They need to recruit some of the people that you want to see how they're going. And kind of like come at it. That's why it's better if it's a teacher, like someone from on high.
Yes, someone with no social standing, like not a cool person, not a nerd.
Exactly.
A neutral teacher.
Outside of the game. Someone who listens to ABC Life.
Someone who's lost a bit of weight recently.
This is true. I'll show you my muscles.
Oh my God.
Bye.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
What are you been working out? In ISO?
I've sort of taken the foot off the pedal this last week, but up until this week, I was doing 3 workouts at home with, like, whatever weights and stuff I had, and also yoga at home. But this week, something's happened, Jesus. And I gave up. So I do have to get back.
That's pretty good. What weights have you got?
I've got like a 5 kilo bag thing that you can do stuff with.
Oh.
I have a 4 kilo kettlebell. I mean, it's heavy, but it makes a shit cuppa. And I've got a, what's that number? I've got a 5 kilo weight, round weight plate that you can just do stuff with.
Fucking hell. You're going to come out better.
Oh my God.
Most people are going to come out worse.
Well, I'm not drinking. So, like, there's very little to do in my life. So, to fill an afternoon, if I'm not, you know, doing nothing, like cooking dinner starting at about 2 p.m., I will do a workout because I'm like, you know what, that is going to chew through 40 minutes of this day plus a shower plus, you know, starting dinner. That's an hour and a half gone.
Yeah, those early days, I was like, I couldn't believe how long the days went for. That's what it must be like to be in a nursing home.
Doing yoga, kettlebells.
Oh, you got your 5 kilo. No, I mean, getting to 10 a.m. in the morning and being like, fuck, how much longer of this do we have?
Yeah, I've got like, I've now added morning and afternoon tea into my day. Like, I don't need it, but it's kind of, it fills in some time. Let's have a cup of tea and a sit down with. My morning tea is 2 ginger snap biscuits, which I smear almond butter on top of. Then I put a date on top of each biscuit with a cup of tea.
Wow.
And afternoon tea is more savoury, is a crusket with hummus, with tomato and pickles. So,
ooh, I like this one better. But then that's something to look forward to. It's like, you know, we're keeping moving throughout the day.
I mean, it's some of that chat would have gone down really well at the reunion.
yeah, I'm quite the gourmet.
Mel keeps trying out chat for her reunion on us in social situations. It's weird.
So you're living with frontline heroes, Tom, and you're just sort of bludging, doing a bit of typing 3 afternoons a week.
Well, look,
remember that thing about saying nice things about us?
I have upped the amount of housework I do as a result of doctors becoming considered heroes over the last 3 to 4 weeks. And I had that in mind pretty early on when they started becoming heroes. I'm like, I'm at home more. They're leaving, so I'm gonna like do more stuff. But I suppose it's embarrassing how little the increase has been. Like, because I've done a little bit more, but I swept the house once. So that's what heroes get. You know what I mean? It's like, you're welcome.
Oh, that is a nice thing. Are they doing less? Are they doing nothing around the house at the moment?
I don't know. I reckon it's gone down a bit. I think their hero status has gone to their heads a little bit. And like the first thing that happens is they start doing less around the house, these people that are considered heroes. I reckon firefighter adjacent people would have experienced this a few months ago. And now people who live with doctors are having to suffer. We need to stop the adulation in their direction.
I agree. As soon as they find the cure, hand your sister the vacuum and say time's up.
That's it, exactly. You don't even work in the Corona Ward. You're not involved. I know you're not involved. If anything, they've cancelled all like a lot of the other medical stuff. So that's not on. They're chilling more. A lot of the doctors are like more relaxed than ever.
Is this true?
And they're getting, yeah, absolutely. We're not overwhelmed in Australia. It's not like in other countries. They're on the front lines. They're getting sick. You know, that's not true in Australia. We've had like 2 cases yesterday.
Everyone's like, oh my God, heroes, well done. Like giving them a clap. It's like, that's what their job is. Like that's what they do.
Yeah.
For sure. To a certain point, and if it gets crazy and overwhelming, then I feel like respect needs to kick in. But until it gets to that point, absolutely, it's just their job. And now I think a lot of them are chilling more than before. That's all I'm saying. And they're not emptying the dishwasher.
Tom, my question is, your sister is a medical doctor.
Mm.
Can she not afford to live?
You recognise her from one of the photos?
Yes. Can she not live separately from you? Like,
can she not?
Doesn't she have heaps of money? Why would she want her brother all up in her house?
That's such a funny way to look at having a housemate.
I mean, yeah. Look.
What's happened in her life that she's fallen to this place where she's living with you, Tom Cashman?
Yeah. If I could honestly track my approach to the situation until now, I thought it was kind of like a bit of a gift that her brother lived with her. But now I'm starting to see it might be a burden. To be honest, that's the first thought I've given to that perspective.
It's a burden. She's getting all this housework done for her.
I mean, yeah. I think she's like 28 or something. I think she'll move on soon is the real answer. But for now...
She'll move on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Having a housemate when you're a doctor.
It's just not what I pictured for doctors, who I picture as being Porsche owners.
Totally.
Holidays in the Hamptons. And then there's comedian Tom Cashman.
Yes. I think maybe the doctors you're picturing don't love their brothers. I feel like that's the distinction.
That's probably it, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas my sister, you know, a lot of admiration, a lot of respect, even though there is that kind of discrepancy. That's the only explanation I can think of.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you know I got a reply from my real estate agent. I asked for a rent discount today.
Oh, here we are. Yeah.
I mean, perfect. I asked for it and they just were like, no. They just,
oh my
they
God.
Said, no. And so what, now I don't know what to do.
What specifically did they say?
They were like, sorry, it seems like, you know, you haven't provided enough evidence.
It seems like, fuck you, and no.
But it was, and there was just like, can you keep paying the same amount of rent? What if I just don't have any money? Mm. I don't have to pay my rent.
Mm. Can you give them some proof of some kind and be like, this is my bank account?
I got my producer to write a letter saying that there's no more comedy at the moment, so I can't earn money.
Mm.
But I won't tell them about the couch or the mattress because they might want a bit of
that. Yeah.
They might want a bit of that.
Can you get the job keeper program though and pay your rent out of that? If you have experienced a 30% reduction in income as a sole trader, you could probably get that, Samuel.
Well, wow. I've applied. I haven't heard from them.
Okay. But that's unreasonable. You should just send them a number and be like, what about this number? And get them to just...
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Oh. I said, can I... I asked for a 60% rent reduction. I thought they would come back with being like 30. And then I go 40. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they go 43. And then we say deal. But instead they
came back with absolutely not. And you're like, 50? Is this how it works?
Well, there's only one solution. You pack up, you move back to Nowra.
Mm.
No. Can I come and live with you in Indooroopilly? Is that where you live?
No, I wish I lived in Indooroopilly. I live in Ipswich.
That's it. Started with I, though.
Yes, I have two spare bedrooms. Well, I have one spare bedroom available. This room is more my office. But
it looks beautiful.
Thank you. If you wanted a single bed in here, we could do that. I will have to charge you rent though, Sam, and comedy opportunities in Ipswich are a little bit reduced at the moment.
Can I have a 60% discount on rent?
Okay, 60's a bit high, yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's your counter offer?
Yeah, exactly. Come back with something.
Counter offer is you pay the full rent, the end.
Fuck you. You and my real estate agent would get along. Jesus Christ. You've got so many towels behind you, Mel.
My towels? Yeah, I roll my towels in a circular fashion. As you can see. You know what you can do? You can put some fucking doors on that. Are you handy?
Technology was removed from his school.
From school, but yeah. So I mean, we didn't have. I could maybe weld it, but it doesn't look like a welding job.
Does it have doors that you haven't put on, or is it?
It has the sliding thing for sliding mirror doors to go in, but the doors are not featured. I don't know where the doors are.
I just don't like what I see in them.
They're wrong. They're broken. There's something wrong with it because I've lost weight and I looked great at my reunion. And then every time I walk in here, it's like a lie. So I got rid of the doors.
So if you can get correct doors, Sam, that would be fantastic.
That would be great. I would do that if
you let me move in, for sure. Because I would now I'm in the position where I'd love to walk into the real estate agent and be like, I'm out, and then put my like resignation on the table.
You resign. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And then you'd be paying break lease rent for a place you're not living in, and my rent, so you'd be paying double rent. But my rent is quite affordable, Sam. You'd be quite surprised.
Oh, yeah. And okay. So is that your counter offer, the full rent, but in relation to what I'm paying now, it's probably quite cheap.
I think, isn't Queensland closed? Aren't you not allowed to even go there?
I reckon I could sneak in the back way, out past Armidale or something.
Yeah, through Broken Hill, if you're willing to come through that
way. You come back down through the Northern Territory.
How did Sam die in the desert? It's like, oh, his rent. He didn't go rent reduction, so he went to Broken Hill and started walking.
Then drive to Broken Hill, and then it's just straight across. It would be $100 a week rent for you, Sam. Mates rates.
Jesus, that's all right.
That's good, isn't it?
That's a great deal.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And that is...
Okay, look,
if you move in, I'm not reducing the rent if you whinge. That's it. It's $100 or you're out on the street.
Oh, 100, I could swing easier. Like 100's unreal. Like I could live a life. A really
Sam,
exciting
don't
life.
Don't be saying this is terrible negotiating. Like 100, I love it. I could pay more.
I could pay more.
It'd be easy. You'd be comfortable paying more, would you? Great. Well, I'll keep that in mind. There are a few catches though with moving in with me. This neighborhood is, let's just say, it's a little bit like Nowra Technology High. There's
a bit of welding going on.
There's a bit of yelling, a bit of late night yelling you'll hear. This is not an affluent area. There is a young couple who live in a tent a few houses down behind one of their family homes. Yes.
Now, I wonder what kind of deal they would give me on rent if they're in it. See, what are they paying?
You're going to move into their tent with them.
I'll get that very cheap.
They might be negotiable to that, but they yell and run around the street a lot. With no shoes on, which must hurt.
Are you getting involved? Are you being like, come on, guys, some of us are trying to sleep?
I don't get involved, no, because the girl is very, she connects with a voice that comes from her stomach, and they're very young, they're like 14 and 15.
you respect really? Her diaphragm and her projection.
I think she's
classic
trained. Yeah.
Music teacher comment, by the way. I think maybe you are a music teacher.
With your diaphragm, yeah.
So I'm just making you aware of the neighbourhood, but there are two pubs on my street within walking distance, so something to weigh up.
But they're closed.
They are doing takeaway food, and they will deliver booze to local residents.
That's brutal, seeing the pubs doing food. It's like, oh man, we weren't there for the food, guys. I'm very sorry.
Oh, I reckon I will. Like, I'm very excited to get back to the pub and have a pub meal. But I guess
I'll
be drinking.
Yeah, but at the pub, you're not getting takeaway chicken parmy to have at home.
Yeah.
That's mental. Absolutely not.
Yeah, God. But Matt, unless I try to recreate the pub in my house, maybe.
My concern is with the takeaway meals is where is the salad going? So if it's in a big styrofoam container and there's steak, chips and salad, I don't want the salad in with the chips and the steak. So
exactly.
Well,
it's
have
not
to
takeaway. Yeah, but then it's like a...
Have you ever got a faux delivered? It's a nightmare. It's like an IKEA meal.
Yes.
Yeah, but then that's delicious. Like the five compartments like a faux and it's just a chicken parmy from the pub without anyone else there. Oh,
and it's
man.
An uncooked schnitzel. You have to cook the schnitzel as well.
That leads to suicide. I don't like that. That's the beginning of something very dark.
I miss the pub meal as well, but I don't want to. I want to eat it in a pub. You know, I want to share. I want to match the flavors, the food, and the beer and stuff, and the wine. I do not want to be on my couch even sadder.
Hey, Mel. I pitched a TV show last week, and you were in it.
Oh.
And no one. I haven't heard back.
Hallelujah!
Oh my God. You didn't hear back on your big show pitch, dumb bitch R Us.
Look, it was about a woman that goes to her high school reunion.
I get it. Can I guess, is it a food-based show, Sam, at all?
No, it was just like a comedy show.
Comedy show? Wow.
Because you do that. You do a bit of comedy, and I thought... I thought you'd be good. You could do that comedy stuff in the show, which is why I put you in the pitch.
I'm going to enter Raw this year, so fingers crossed.
Raw. Is that a cooking comp?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. I always like to hear. I had to.
I googled you and got your headshot and put you in the document.
Oh, thank you.
But it didn't get up, so it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter. No, nothing ever does.
It's good to be informed of failures that you didn't even know about.
Yeah.
Yeah, add this one on to the list.
Exactly. I'm pretty convinced that your inclusion was the reason why it didn't get up.
No, because I did it all myself, right?
Yeah.
And then didn't tell anyone about it, pitched it, and now at least if you're as a group, you can be like, poor, we could share the blame.
Yeah, exactly.
So now I'm trying.
That's what you're trying to do. Yeah, dragging.
I'm reaching out to everyone that was included. You were in there as well, Tom, now that I mentioned it. So, and maybe you were the reason why I didn't get up.
Fuck you, man. Either tell me before and I can be part of it. Or
in fact, my name wasn't attached to it at all. It was the Tom and Mel show and it didn't get
exactly.
up.
Exactly. The Dumb Bitches Are Us show.
That's weird that no one went for that because I'm kind of hot property at the moment. I know Tom's really heating up, so...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Do you think you're hot property at the moment, Mel?
No, I don't. No, not at all. No, I think I've got a real stench about me.
I listened to your album. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Yes. That was before all of this began, and I thought that my year would continue as normal, and I was like, I like my show this year. Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And, it's not good.
Do you have any ideas for Corona bits?
Have you got a Corona bit?
Not any that I would do seriously. I have some ironic ideas. But no, not really. I'm not going to really be talking about my isolation, I think, when I get out of this. I'm just going to pretend it never happened and just be straight back to, my mom's a fucking bitch. Just back to that.
But I think that I honestly think in a year's time we'll have vague memories of this, but we won't really care. It's not that people are like it's going to change the world.
Who's
I just don't think
it will.
Forget
about it.
No, I think people. It's not going to be. But some people are like everything's going to change from this moment on.
Oh right, yeah.
I think we'll be like, oh yeah, Corona. Yeah, that's right. And well, and like and people saying self isolating is going to become like a hack comedy bit. People like MCs will be like, oh, have you been self-isolating at home, haven't you? Like,
yeah.
You know, it'll be like swiping on Tinder.
2 weeks ago, I was the guy, I was exactly that person saying like society's going to dramatically change. And I think it could in America. Maybe some of that will trickle down, but we kind of have gotten, I think you're right now. It's looking like it'll just be a bit of a hacky blip.
I think it'll just
is good.
Like 20-1, and it'll be like a memory. It'll be like, remember when we were all washing our hands, and it'll be that sort of shit. Yeah.
It'll be like, what was that show Adam Zwar made? Agony Aunts or Agony Uncles?
Yes.
Everyone will be in like a collared shirt, sitting there in front of their like nice garden, being like, oh, we didn't talk to anyone for 7 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll come up. Anyone arguing that it's like never, like people will talk about it. But yeah, it maybe won't dominate the... we were talking about JobKeeper before. Sam and I have had an experience with a few accountants that we wanted to tell you about, Mel.
Oh, yes. I would love to know about. I love talking about accounts.
Do you have an accountant?
Yes. And
what's
they are an accountant that my agent told me about. And they're not the cheapest people going around, but they
really
have got me a great program where I can track all my tax deductible spending, and I'm kind of into it because it's fun. So
okay, another great reunion chat. I'll remember that one when I go to mine.
I don't know. I kind of like claiming things on tax. It's kind of fun when you know what I mean? You feel like you've beaten a man or something. I don't know what it is.
Do you take a photo of the receipt, bank it?
Even better, cut out the middleman. My app is linked to my bank account. It comes up in my bank account. Cairns, Coles. And I go, Cairns? I was on tour. That is tour food. Bing. And I'm going to put that as food and travel. Straight away. Done.
Oh, I thought you meant Cairns as in you were getting on the beers.
Oh, no. Cairns as in the subtropical northern Queensland city.
Beautiful part of the world. Beautiful.
We love Cairns here on the podcast.
Actually, that is...
Shout out to
Cairns. If I was living in Ipswich, I'd be a lot closer to Cairns than I currently am. In Sydney.
Well, that's another positive of moving in.
I'm so close to Cairns, is practically next door.
That is.
For $100 a week, I could be a mere 22 hours from Cairns by car.
What happened with this accountant? I feel like...
Well, I feel like the beginning of the saga from my perspective is that I maybe last year got an accountant for the first time and... went and saw this woman who was very nice and kind of, she didn't seem to know everything, but she was like a nice person. And then like I took a while to like submit she was going to do my tax return and help me, income averaging over 5 years, which you can do.
Did your app do that or not?
No, the accountant does that. But yeah, yes, I know about income averaging.
Oh, that's okay, but that's why I was there. And then it took me a while to, like, get my return together, but then I eventually sent it through, and then I didn't hear anything for, like, maybe a month or something. And then I started going, oh, well, like, I'd like to get it sorted because I was going to get some money back. And also at the same time, the accounting firm were emailing me, like, scary emails saying, like, you haven't done your – you might get audited and, like, fined by the ATO if you don't submit your tax return. And I'm, like, getting these generic emails. I'm like, well, you've got it, like – you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started like following up on these emails. Every 2 weeks, I think I had a reminder where I was like, oh, where's this at? She didn't reply for like two more months, I think. It was like ages. Eventually did reply. And then I asked her, then we were like finalizing it. And I'm like, can I get a bit of a discount? Because I feel like I've been a bit ignored here. And then she was like, because she'd mentioned that she was just dealing with like, she didn't say the words more important clients, but like, other people that were more pressing.
Yeah.
You knew, you checked your bank balance and knew that there must, like, there'd be more important clients.
I mean, yeah. The implication was she didn't give a shit about me. This wasn't a big... But, I asked for a discount and then she was like, why? And then I was like, I don't know, is this like a normal experience at your firm? And then she said, you know what's not normal? My husband being diagnosed with cancer and me having a fall on the way to work.
Oh. Boom.
And I was bang. Like, oh. I mean,
that is not normal.
I mean, a little bit. It's not normal, but it's also like, I didn't know about that. Like, you could have let me know.
No, but it's so funny to be like, but then you had to apologize. You had to be like, I'm
sorry.
We
can't hide tragedy and then just bring it up at a time.
Well, you can if you're a woman. Thank you, Tom.
I felt a bit... felt a bit manipulated.
I think she is selfish. Cancer would have been enough, but she wanted to get in on the sympathy that her husband was getting.
That's my favourite bit, is that she kind of used two excuses. I reckon if you're going to use an excuse, you need to go with fall or husband having cancer. But including the fall kind of is just a bit of an insult to the husband.
She should have, in that, she should have kept going. She's like, my husband's got cancer. I've had a fall. My dishwasher is broken.
Exactly. And then go down the list.
Yeah, totally. And it's like, I haven't cut my toenails in ages. So you have some fucking respect.
Like, she's got no comic sensibility at all with that story. It's very sad. Yeah.
But anyway, so around that time, I'm like, I should probably... So it did my taxes or whatever. And I'm like, I probably want a new accountant, though. Like, I feel like this one's really mad at me now.
Well, she's busy. She's on the crutches. She's visiting her husband at the hospital.
Also, it was a bit full on to kind of throw that at me. I didn't kind of like the vibe. It's like meant to be just making it all a bit easier. And now I feel like I'm in trouble. Anyway. But then at this point, Sam tells me, my goodness gracious, Tom, the coolest accountant ever met in your entire life. You will love this.
I just like open the phone book, close my eyes, and just bang, find an accountant. And I go meet this guy, and his name's Stephen, right? And he's, I reckon, 5'4" Englishman, and he's like, his face is like redder than like a strawberry. Like he's a red man, you know, he's a small red English man. And he's very chubby, and I liked his vibe. He had cool energy as soon as I came in. I really liked it. And he told me early on, and I could tell this was a bit that he does to kind of new clients. He was like, because he's probably like 60 maybe. And he was like, he goes, yeah, at 40, I had a midlife crisis. He goes, you know, some men, they buy a convertible, they fuck the secretary. I became an accountant. Like that was his little bit. And I laughed, and we laughed, and it was really, I enjoyed the experience a lot. Anyway, so I come out of there, and I'm like, Tom, I've got this guy, Stephen. You're going to love this guy. He's funny. He's short. He's right up your alley. And so I recommend Tom. I think I even vouched you over email.
Oh, yeah. You hooked me up with him via email and said, like, get a load of this guy, Stephen. I don't think you mentioned the short.
he is. Haven't met him IRL, have you?
No, absolutely not. But, it's fantastic to hear that he's short. That's one of my favourite qualities in a person. But then, then I hit him up and he did my taxes this year. But then JobKeeper came around, so I emailed him and I'm like, I don't know if I can get JobKeeper because you haven't done my, like, tax return this year. Like, can you tell me what you reckon about that? And he replies being like, this is how you apply for JobKeeper. I'm like, oh, yeah, gotcha. But like, I just want to know about that requirement for having done the taxes. What do you think about that? And then he goes, he emails me. He says, hi, Sam. I'm a little confused as you appear to be up to date. And then sends me a screenshot of Sam's tax return.
My details. He's breached my privacy.
Oh, no. So you know the kind of coin Tom's on.
I don't have all the numbers, but I know that he hasn't lodged his return for 2007 and 2008. So you need to get on that, Sam.
No, I remember. Because I remember Stephen said, this is what Stephen said to that. And I remember he goes to me, I was like, do I need to lodge that? And he goes, what are the odds you'll get audited? And I was like, shouldn't you know that? That seems like a question you could answer. Like,
he asked you what the odds.
He asked me what the odds were of it happening. And I was you're the numbers guy.
He sees you two as the same person, as just a sprightly up-and-comer.
That's it.
Couple of young bucks he's merged into one buck.
But then, so he replies to me and he goes, hi, Tom, can you send me your full name? So now he's like, has clearly absolutely zero clue who I am.
Yeah.
But what did you say when were you like, hang on, I'm not Sam Taunton?
I said, ha ha ha, oh, I think I see the misunderstanding. Like, I'm Tom. I sent you my tax return about a month ago. Like, hello. And then he's like, can you send me your full name? Because I didn't say Tom Cashman. I just said, I'm Tom. And I'm like, sure, I'm Tom or Thomas Cashman. And then he said, thanks, Tom. I'll look into this. To avoid any further confusion, please can you sign off on emails as Tom Cashman? There are currently over 100 Toms in our books. So he tried to blame it on me.
What's your email address, Tom?
Cashman.tom@gmail.com.
Exactly.
But also, there's no Sam in Tom or Tom. Like, it doesn't. That wasn't the reason for the mistake.
No.
He's just blaming me.
Do you know what I honestly think's happened?
Mm.
He's emailing you and he's probably watching a bit of my stand up or something online.
Yeah.
He's probably having a bit of a chuckle. He's like, this guy's so funny. And then that's just kind of like rolled into his work life.
Totally, and that's one theory. that's one theory. I've got another theory. I feel like during it, he was watching my stand-up and he was enjoying it so much. And he was looking at the numbers that he's got on me. He was like, this doesn't match up. Like, it's just so funny, yet the numbers here are pretty terrible. So it's like, I'm confused. It must be someone different. Who are my other clients?
He's learning the first rule of comedy that it doesn't matter how, like, funniness doesn't equal money.
That's it. But so at this stage, Mel, I am, and this is kind of the kicker, I tell Sam about this, obviously, and I'm like, this is pretty funny. This guy that you've recommended to me, promised, is the best accountant you've ever dealt with in your life. He has...
I didn't want to hear it either. I was like, that doesn't sound like Stephen.
He thinks I'm you. Like, this guy doesn't know up from down. He's incompetent. what do you have to say for yourself? And Sam's like, look, this guy is actually still... You know, he's just... People make mistakes. You know, let him off. Like, one mistake is one mistake. He's still a pro at what he does.
And then, I'm not even joking, probably 3 minutes after Tom messages me being like, this guy has like mistaken me for you, he sends me the screenshot of my tax return, I get an email from a guy called aka my accountant saying, hi, Tom. Your ITR is due 15th of the 5th. You are not registered for GST as you have no BAS outstanding. Therefore, apply for the JobKeeper as a sole trader. Regards. My accountant. So he thinks he just doubled down and got it even wrong. More wrong.
I think Stephen might have had to go into accounting because he can no longer function in a position that relies on teamwork. did you smell any marijuana in his office, Sam?
No, but it wouldn't. He was so cool that it wouldn't have surprised me if he just lit up a joint.
That guy's smoking doobie.
It's like, let's talk numbers, bro.
Yeah, that's that pretty cool.
I want now to go back and be like, tell him if he ever wants to talk about my tax, he has to go through Tom. And then if Tom ever wants, and then I'll handle all Tom's tax advice.
You are each other's representative. That would make a lot of sense to Stephen, I feel. Yeah, I've not had those issues. As I said, I've got an app.
yeah, the app.
Yeah, I've got the app. The app costs $50 a month, but that is also tax deductible. So
there we go.
Stephen's not cheap either. Like, I remember looking at how much I paid him. I couldn't believe it.
Well, the other option, sorry, is that we have like a third person, Sam, that kind of represents us to kind of...
Mel.
Yeah, and Mel, maybe Mel could step in and you could be kind of the person who talks to Stephen.
Look, I know the system. I know the ins and outs, the ups and downs.
That's it.
I think if you could show Stephen this app, it might really
ingratiate you to him. Oh, yeah, well, no, if you could give him some fucking tips, man.
He needs his app more than anyone.
Yeah, he's in a real tiz. I'm just picturing a guy that doesn't even have a computer, that like he's got a paper diary and he clicks a pen when you sit down. Like, I'm a bit worried about Stephen.
He didn't have a computer in front of him, weirdly. There was a spreadsheet. No, there was a PowerPoint presentation and a notepad. And then he wrote a note to me that said, keep your receipts, and handed it to me. That was all the paperwork I got when I left.
Big, yeah, good tip.
That is some basic bitch accountant stuff right there. Keep your receipts. Thanks, mate. Yeah, yeah.
But he felt the need to write it on a bit of paper. He was funny. I liked it.
I reckon he's got two screens, you doing stand-up on one, me on the other one, and that's the problem. He's addicted.
I think you need to not just go with who's cool and who's in the cool group, Sam, but he's going to do a very good job for you financially and keep you on track with your quarterly BAS payments.
Yes, Mrs. Buttle.
Yes.
Or Miss Buttle. There is. Well, this is guy. Yeah, I mean, my dad's accountant is a surfer. He's always wearing board shorts. So my dad thinks that means he's not like the other accountants. He's like, this guy gets
competent.
Straight to it. He's always. He's wearing sandals and board shorts.
Well, my accountant wears a suit and has an office.
See, this is what you want. Yeah, you don't want the only numbers your accountant's familiar with being hanging 10.
Dear Lord. What are you doing tonight, Mel?
Well, Ruby has just... I don't know if you can see her, but she's just come in.
Oh,
Oh.
Hello, Ruby.
I heard her making a racket before.
Yeah, she is after her dinner because it is in the sixes, and that's when she eats dinner. So I'm going to feed Ruby, and then I've had an invitation come through on my phone to eat Indian food. So I'm obviously going to have to.
Are you going to do that?
I don't know. It's like it's 6:21, and I live in Ipswich, so by the time I go to the person's house who wants me to eat Indian near them, we're looking at 8 o'clock. So
totally. Sorry, I thought you got a request from the restaurant. It's like, man, you get a lot of takeaway. You get orders from them.
I've not been eating that much junk food. I've been doing quite well, but I'm going to say it. Meeting time remaining is on my screen.
I know. Oh, I reckon that's it. I reckon we've got 9 minutes left. We can't go again, can we?
No. We've done pretty well.
Well, no, you've got to feed the dog. Are you seeing people, Mel, like going into there? Because I was talking to someone the other day, and she was saying that she's like her housemates are just like picking up people on Hinge and just like having them over.
Oh,
like,
no.
Sleep.
Oh, what?
That seems that's, so not on.
That's the first thing that's out as you scale back socializing.
No, I'm just going to my girlfriend's house who we've been at each other's house through this whole thing. So,
and that's allowed. That was said to be allowed.
So she's invited me for Indian, but she lives a long way away. Oh, who can be bothered?
Yeah, I reckon break up. It's too far.
You reckon? Yeah, it is a bit of a drive.
I reckon order Indian food, stay at home with the dog. I'll be there in 2 to 3 days. I'll move, and then we'll be fine.
Maybe we could get Indian soon.
I'd love that. I really would.
Here comes another day. What a beautiful place and time for us to be living together.
Together.